done with youth conference, and our youth pastor took you guys out there for youth conference, but I'm thinking back tonight about a youth conference, I think it was many, many years ago. He's smiling, he knows what I'm going to say. And our youth pastor was not, he was not a youth pastor then, he was a teenager. And it was time for the youth to come back, and you know how you give testimonies. And the kids were given testimony, and he wanted to give a testimony. But being the pastor, he had his hand up, and I know more than a lot of people know about what folks are doing, and I didn't think it was a good time for that teenager to give a testimony. He wasn't up to his game. And so when he raised his hand, all I did was just go something like that. Like that. And did he make the expression? Yeah. Just that kind of expression. And right away, his hand came down. That was it. He knew, no, I shouldn't give a testimony. And that goes along with a verse tonight I'd like you to look at in verse 8 of Psalm 32, first of all. Verse 8, I'm going to read it. It's a promise of God to us as believers. And he says there in Psalm 32, verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And that's what I was doing. I was just giving him a look, and it was enough, that look, to tell him, put your hand down. This is not time to testify. You've not been walking with God like you should. Now, there's another way to be guided, and that reminds me of my wife. Now, when I say my wife, I'm saying she's been raised with horses, and her father got each of the kids in Florida. They lived in West Palm Beach, I guess, at the time, and he got them each horses, and they were able to go out after school, and instead of watching TV, they ride horses, you know, and my wife became quite a horse lady. Her dad was quite a horseman, so she knew how to do horses. So we had a time with our Christian school when the winners of the contest, the tremendous two, was it? And it was Lily and Luke that won that year, and we took them out horseback riding a couple hours. And I had a crazy horse. He was a horse that would go a few steps and then eat grass. And he would just start eating grass, and I would pull on him, and he would jerk his head up and start galloping. And I was like, and I'm not the best horseman. I almost came off that horse. And Luke and Lily can tell you about their horses. But my wife got a horse named Max, and he was one of these horses. He just wouldn't walk. And my wife, he was big, you know, and he wouldn't walk. And my wife tried to get him going, and she couldn't get him going. And she was giving him the heel a little bit there. And the lady kept complaining, oh, don't do that to Max. Don't do that to Max. And I saw my wife, and she just was not able to make Max go. And so tonight I want to speak for Psalm 32 about how you can have a closer walk with God. How you can walk closer to God. And you can either walk in such a way that all the Lord has to do is just guide you with his eye, just that expression. Or you can have it so that the Lord has to jerk you around. And that's in verse 9. Look at verse 9 of Psalm 32. He says, be not as the horse, or as the mule, or as Max, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. And Max, you know, my wife tried to give him the bit and bridle, but the lady that was with us kept telling her, oh no, you can't do that. No, no. And so she was between a rock and a hard place. Don't be like Max. Be like verse 8. How you may have a closer walk with God. And I want to say three things about that tonight. Number one, by your position in Jesus Christ. And look at verse 1 and 2 of Psalm 32. I'll read them. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. You know what? We can have a close walk with God because we're blessed to have reconciliation to God. You know, I remember before I was saved, I didn't have that reconciliation. When I did something really bad, I felt like now I'm in trouble, now I'm going to go to hell. I did something really bad. And God was just this distant judge out there, and I was scared of him because I knew about hell and I believed in hell, and I thought maybe I'm going to go and I did something bad. I wasn't sure. But you know what? The Bible speaks about you and I once we get saved, and it puts it this way in Psalm 32. It says, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Now, David was talking about the Old Testament believer. And the word for covered there is the word kafar. And they would do a sin, and then they would take an animal sacrifice and cover it. But it didn't cleanse it away. And then they do another sin, do an animal sacrifice, it would cover it. Kafar, it would keep doing that. But yet David said that's a blessing. Why is that? Because their faith, when they did that animal sacrifice, there's somebody coming, a Messiah that's coming, who's going to give a sacrifice that is going to take away that sin. And you say, how do you know that? Read Romans 4 about David and Abraham. They're Old Testament believers that were believing God that the one was coming. Way back in Genesis, God promised this one that would come, the seed of the woman. And when they offered those sacrifices, they were offering it in faith that that sin was taken care of and would be taken care of. And so they were saved on credit. And when was that bill actually paid for? When Jesus Christ hung on the cross and said, it is finished. And they looked forward to that. And they were blessed. How much better is it for you? You look back to that one who already came. And you don't have to offer an animal sacrifice. That sacrifice of the Son of God and His blood has paid for the sins in full of every man, woman, and child that will simply trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And I go a step further because the Bible goes a step further. So if the Bible goes, I'm going to go. Amen. Look at verse 2. It says, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. What does that mean? Impute. That means put to your account. You know, I have a guy in my apartment. He bought a washer from me, so I put $100 to his charge account. I'm charging it to his account. I told him about it. He wanted it. But you know what? God says you are blessed if no sin that you commit will ever be charged to your account. Amen. Because if it's charged to your account, you have to pay for it, and it's not $100. It's do not collect, pass go, do not collect $100, go to hell, unfortunately. And we don't have to have that charge to our account if we have put our faith in Jesus Christ, who came and said, Father, charge it to my account. Can you imagine that? All of the sins of the world being charged to his account and him being counted guilty? Is it any wonder he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he went through hell for us. You have no problems tonight. Whatever problem you've got no problems tonight if you're a believer. If you've put your trust in Jesus. Because not only have all of your sins been charged to his account and paid in full when he said, Tetelestai, that meant paid in full. He said it not in a quiet voice. The Bible's very clear. He said it in a loud voice. Tetelestai! Paid in full. And now he bids you, if you're not saved, trust me, I will save you. Believe my promise, I will save you. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. If you haven't done that, do it now. Don't do it tomorrow. Don't do it later tonight. Now is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Quote it right, Pastor. Now is the accepted time. And I'm so glad I've trusted him. I'm so glad that date is in my rearview mirror way back in 1967, Muskegon, Michigan, June the 16th. I trusted him as my Savior. I'm blessed. I stand on a solid rock. I'm glad this is solid. Scranton stands on coal mines, you know, could cave in. The whole city could cave in. But not if you're on the rock, Jesus Christ. You are blessed tonight. And not only are all those sins paid for, he went a step further. The Bible says that God declared us positively righteous when we believe. Because the perfect obedience of Jesus Christ, the perfect righteousness of the crucified, buried, and risen Jesus Christ, glorified at the right hand, that's been charged positively to your account. What do they say? That's credited. Boy, can you imagine being in debt $1 million? A lot of Americans are in a lot of debt, thanks to our government and some charging. Taking all that debt, somebody paying for it, and then debiting to your account $1 million. That just is a little picture of your position. So the message tonight is how to have a closer walk with God. It starts with every look you take at yourself, take 10,000 at Jesus. Every look you take at your problems, look at the problem solver. Look what he's done for you. And not only that, not only did he die for you, but the Bible says in Romans chapter 6 that when he died, we shared in the likeness of his death, that we died as far as what we were. Old man in Adam, condemned, unable to live for God. That's all been crucified with Christ and buried. Buried just means you're dead. You don't bury somebody unless they're really dead. You are dead. You say, but I have sin kicking in me pretty strong. Yes, it operates in and through your mortal body, but you as a new man in Christ have died, you've been buried, you're risen, you are in a new realm. You're under a new reign. The reign of God, the reign of grace. And that's why I believe we need to understand Psalm 32 in verse 2. He says, and in whose spirit is no guile, because you're risen with Christ, the spirit of Jesus Christ lives in your spirit. And yes, you have that flesh pulling on you every day. I have that flesh pulling on me. But my position is I'm dead, I'm buried, I'm alive. Reckon yourself. That means count upon the fact you are dead and buried as far as the old man. You're in a new position. So don't let sin reign in your mortal body. Why let it? And that is your position in Jesus Christ. And that will help you to have a closer walk with God. You say, how? Because God wants you to be what you are. You see, you are saved, so act like it. You are in Christ, so act like it. Be what you are. That's what the Bible teaches. Not try to get brownie points to get there. You are there already. And be what you are and realize the blessing that you have in your position in Christ. You say, Pastor, why? So that you and I might have a closer walk with God. That we might be assured. You know, the Bible says in 1 John 5:13, these things are written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may what? Know you have eternal life. God wants you to know that. How can I know that? Well, because God said if you believe on Jesus Christ, you trust in and cling to him alone, you have eternal life. And then 1 John even gives some other things to indicate that you're saved. Some things to indicate you have a desire to be like Christ. You have a new hatred for sin that you didn't have before, and a new recognition, and you're confessing it, and so forth. And that adds on the foundation a deeper assurance and a deeper encouragement that you're saved. And you say, why is that important? Well, because the devil will try to get you down and discourage you. And if he could get you down and discourage you, then he could get you to sin. And that's what he wants. But God says, nope, you're blessed. Realize your blessings even greater than what David had and what the Old Testament saints had. And realize that through your position in Christ. But let me go on to a second thing tonight, how you may have a closer walk with God. Number two, and by the way, let me say something. I want to enjoy my preaching, amen? I always say I'm my favorite preacher. Now, I'm not bragging. I'm just saying I enjoy my preaching. If you don't enjoy your preacher, you know that. Your people aren't going to enjoy it. And you know what? If I don't enjoy God, people aren't going to enjoy my witness for Christ. And I'm not going to win any. If you look like you're raised on a dill pickle, you know, you're not going to win any. Put a smile on your face, but don't just put it on there. Let it come from within. Your purpose is to glorify God by doing His will and enjoy Him. That's what your purpose is. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And that comes from our position in Christ. But there's a second thing, how you may have a closer walk with God, and that is by your purification. And I want to look at this, your purification. First of all, let's look at it from a negative side, okay? Look at verse 3 and 4. I'll read it. Psalm 32, it says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. You know what Selah means. Think about that one. Now we're talking about purification, right? David had just talked about the blessings of being righteous. You know, his faith was counted to him for righteousness. And that's a blessing. But sometimes our position is up here, but our practice is down there. And you know David had gotten into serious sin. Got into the sin of adultery. And then he got into the sin of murder, right? Horrible. Your position can be way up here, but your practice can be way down here. But look at David and realize, boy, that's not worth it. Because look at David and how he felt when he was in sin. Now, he did not go to God and admit his sin to God and get it right for over a year. He walked in that place for over a year and experienced these things that he's talking about. And it says there that day and night thy hand was heavy. My moisture's turned to the drought of summer, Selah. And his bones waxed old. And do you know there is a physical effect of sin on your body? In fact, can I say this? We just had the Lord's table. How many of you were at the Lord's table here Sunday night? Okay. Did you do this? Let me read it. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation. Now not to hell, but to hellish living. To himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. And that's what he meant there by damnation. Chastened. Not damnation to hell, but chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Don't raise your hand, but have you ever been chastened of God? Well, if you have, you're a child of God. And why do we get chastened? It's because of what happened to David. He waited a year before he confessed his sin to God. He waited so long before he took advantage of the cleansing of the sacrifice that was operative during that time under the law of Moses. And he didn't deal with his sin. He waited. And the Bible says, you know, we have the Lord's table, however often we have the Lord's table. The early church, it seems like they had it every week. But we have the Lord's table in part so that we have a safety net to make sure I am not letting unconfessed sin go on in my life. And yet I fear that there are a lot of folks that are not taking advantage of that. Some folks miss the Lord's table, and you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't miss the Lord's table. We have it on a Sunday night. We just had it. And you should not miss the opportunity to examine yourself. You know, sometimes people examine themselves. My wife had melanoma, and many years ago. She lived in Florida, got melanoma. She had to have it cut out of her back. That was about 40 years ago. Thank God it never reoccurred. Her brother has had it. But her mother helped to examine her and said, hey, you've got that. And she recognized it. I didn't even recognize it. It wasn't that big. She recognized it. Melanoma, got it cut out before it killed her. You know what? Thank God when somebody comes to you and sees sin in your life and tells you about it. That's what happened to David. This little preacher came up, a prophet called Nathan, and he told him a story, and the story was very convicting, and it convicted David. And David then got it right with God, and all that physical, it could have killed him, because a lot of people are sick and a lot of people die because of sin that's unconfessed and undealt with. And a lot of people are concerned about health and eating good and exercise. Can I tell you, this will do more to promote your health than anything else. Purification. And it's not just sins of commission, things you've done wrong. Listen to me, it's sins of omission. I'm not winning souls. I've got the blood of people on my hands. I missed opportunities. I didn't come to church to hear the word of God or to go for the Lord's table. There are those kind of sins too, things we should do that we're not doing. Oh, you know, I'm worrying and I'm upset and I'm fretting. Well, that's not God's will for our life. And we need to keep close accounts with the Lord. And Nathan came, and he was a preacher. And here's what it says. The Bible says about the prophetic preaching in 1 Corinthians 14, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. What's that talking about? When a man of God is preaching the word of God, and I'm speaking prophetically, in other words, forthtelling, speaking forth the Bible, the word of God, it's living, it's powerful. Here's the living word of God, this old King James Bible. And it's living, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And 1 Corinthians 14 says, when that kind of ministry is going on, and you hear the word of God, the secrets of your heart are revealed. Have you ever looked in a mirror and you didn't look quite as good as you thought, and you had to comb your hair or clean something off yourself or do something? The word of God is like a mirror. It shows you how you look to God. He shows you, Brother Jesse, how you look to God. Glad you got a smile on tonight, Jesse. How you look to God. And that is, it says here, so you fall down on your face and worship God. You know, sometimes we get an invitation and people come here and they get on their face and they worship God, right? That's how we worship God. We respond to the preaching of the Word of God and the teaching of the Word of God. And we, all Scripture is given for doctrine, that's teaching, for reproof, that's to show you where you're not right. For correction, that show you how to get right. And then for instruction or training and living right. The Word of God is for that. People need to benefit from the pulpit ministry and from the Word of God. And that will help you not to have this built up sin in your life that continues to mess up your life. We're talking about purification. We're talking about purification as God sees our need to be purified. Now, the ungodly do not confess sin in this way, and so they're not guided by God. If you're godly, this should be the testimony of your life, that you are concerned about purification. You know, if a pig is dressed up in a dress and you put some lipstick on the lips of the pig and maybe some shoes, Brother Joe, on the hoofs, and then you go out in the barnyard and you let that pig go, where's that pig going, Brother Joe? He's got a farm out. It's going in the mud. They used to have animals. It's going right in the mud. Why? Because it's a pig. But if your position is in Christ and you've been cleaned by the blood of Christ, you're more like a cat now. When a cat gets dirty, clean. You want to be pure. You want to be cleansed of that sin. You know, not Matt and I. Another guy and I went out soul winning Saturday on Matt's bus route, and we went up to a lady in Jessup and invited ourselves on her front porch, but she was open to us coming and let us come, and we were just talking to her, and she was friendly, and I just started going through the gospel with her. And you know what? I knew it convicted her. I went right through the Romans Road, but I could see the conviction. And that face had no smile. Like Carl Hatch used to say, don't bow your head. I'm not ready to pray. But she was bowing her head. And finally, I got toward the place of faith in Christ, and she said, no, I've got my own church. And she just walked away. She said, I'm Roman Catholic. I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear this. And you know, that is not what a godly person does when they are confronted with sins. In fact, look at verse 10 of Psalm 32. It said, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusts in the Lord's mercy shall compass him about. You know, that lady, if she would just accept her sin and God's solution, she could be saved and rejoice in the Lord, but she would not do that. And so did not have the purification that we have. And here's what the Bible says in 1 John 1:10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. You see, I believe that's talking about a person not saved, that they, though it can apply to a Christian, an unsaved person will not confess sin. But a Christian, a true born-again believer, your life will have a lot of confession in it. But if you're not godly, you make them a liar. You say, oh, I didn't sin there. Oh, I ignore that sin. I cover that sin up. I don't get it cleansed. Now, David did that for a year, but I'm just saying that wasn't the tenor of David's life all the way through. That was a backsliding period. But for a believer, we should be characterized by confessing sin, so we can walk in the light of God's will, and we can have a closer walk with God, and we can be guided by God. That's one of the great blessings of being saved, not only going to heaven, but every day you can be guided by God. Every day you can know at the end of the day, you know, I've done the will of God. I fell down, but I got back up. I may have fallen down again, but I got back up, and I finished the day, and I did the will of God for this day. Hey, there's no... If you fall down, admit it. In fact, that's what the word confess means. I was sharing that with a lady at the picnic. It's made up of two words, homo legeo. Homo, you know what homo is? Somebody that likes somebody of the same kind. And homo legeo, legeo means to speak or to say. So those two words together means that when you sin, you say the same thing that God says about that sin. You know, somebody gets drunk and they say, oh, I've got a sickness, alcohol. No, you're a drunkard. Commit adultery, you can do it in your mind. Men do it and ladies do it using the internet. And talk to people and commit adultery by getting an intimacy with somebody that's not your husband and wife, that you're more intimate with them than you are your husband and wife. That's adultery. That's adultery. I'm just saying that we need to confess our sin and say the same thing and do that to God and then be willing by God's grace to forsake it, because he whoso confesses and forsakes his sin shall find mercy of the Lord. I'm just talking about purification. You and I can have a closer walk with God. David was a man after God's own heart. But he spent over a year being like a beast and having to be jerked around. And finally he heard the preaching of the word of the man of God. And he humbled himself and he confessed his sin. And God could have taken him home, but he didn't. But he let him have a lot of suffering to teach him righteousness. How you may have a closer walk with God. Realize your position is such that you can walk with God because of the great blessing he's given you. But realize that you need constant purification to walk in the light. And then finally, you can have a closer walk with God by his provision. Let's wrap it up in verse 8 and 9. He says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. This is God's provision. What's his provision? He's given us a promise here. I'll never forget, it's a young Christian, a young man in this church, not the pastor, but I was in this church having graduated from Bible college. I was helping the pastor. I was just newly married, and I read in this psalm, and I read these verses, and it like jumped out of the page. And I would like to say to you that there have been times when I'm not like a horse or mule, but too many times I've been like that, and I know that's why God gave that to me. Because I can tend to run roughshod over that still small voice of the Word of God as he speaks through his Word, and ignore what he's saying to me. Don't harden yourself to the Lord's truth. Don't let it be that your conscience gets hard, like, you know, my heel of my foot is hard because it's insensitive from where. You want that sensitivity, your conscience captive to the Word of God. The Spirit of God will work with your conscience and show you the Word of God. And when he does, be willing to confess. Be willing to follow his positive leading. And you will be able to have a closer walk with God and a witness for Christ that is very, very effective. You'll fall. Don't plan to fall, but when you do, you have an advocate. Go right to him. You have a priest. He's on duty 24/7. Thank God we don't need a Roman Catholic priest. We got a great high priest, and he will cleanse you. A broken and a contrite heart, he will not despise. Let him break you and walk with him. Don't have a hard heart. All right, let's bow for prayer. And I want to pray. And tonight,